Quantity Radio. Welcome back to another episode of Quantity Radio. I'm your host, Shaquan, aka Big Quan. Don't play with it.
That was funny.
Welcome back, where we talk about relationships, business, you know, mental health. I talk about everything. We talking about a little bit of everything today: conspiracies, agendas, the world as we know it today. We talking about it all. I have a guest on today, Mr. Grandmaster Bay.
What's happening? How y'all feeling?
Hey, and you are not a stranger to the show. He's a repeat offender.
Yeah.
he's a repeat offender. He's been on here. It was 2021.
I think so.
2021 came on the show, and it wasn't, we didn't even have visuals yet. You came on the audio side, so you the OG. You coming in from the OG side.
Yeah, that's true.
Before all the YouTube, you know, so.
We're fancy now.
We moving up, you know.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Last time we talked about.
We talk about a little bit of everything.
So y'all want to hear the part one of this? You know, go back to 2021. I believe we talked about energy awareness.
I think we talked about aliens too.
Did we talk about aliens? I told you
it was coming. It's yes.
You did say. Look at you knowing the future.
Man, aliens, robots, and zombies, man. 2023.
Yeah. And now it's like, oh shit! Like we talked about this in 2021.
And it's here.
It's here. Man, we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna get into a little bit of that. But how are you doing?
Man, I'm smooth, man. I'm great. It's a nice, beautiful day, man. Good sun, good company, man. I'm glad to be here. So. Hey. I ain't got no complaints. Even if I did complain, it wouldn't make a difference anyway. So.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't stand a complainer anyways. I really can't. Because if you're not about to do nothing about it,
gotta do something about it.
Your breath and your mind worrying about it.
You're going to be on the hamster wheel.
Exactly. Yeah. Going. So, you know, I'm glad to have you on the show again. It's always, like you said, good energy, good vibes. You know, we always have good conversations. So I'm excited to have you on again.
Indeed.
This is my first podcast back from my little vacation. I went on my birthday vacation, y'all.
Jeez. So. Where you go?
Yeah, I went to Tulum, Mexico. Mm. And I liked it because I've been to Cancun before. Cancun gives me, like, party vibes. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Everybody's out, turning up, whatever. So I turned up in Tulum, too, but Tulum was more, like, relaxing and more, like, I want to say, like, historical. The things that I seen, like going to the ruins and everything like that, going to the cenotes and the caves.
Talk about that.
I was
wait a minute.
Talk on it. Yeah. It was cool. It was a different experience. I was freaking ziplined. I put my fears. See, what was the bound? What was the barrier there?
Oh.
Why I was so scared of heights? Like I'm scared, like gravity, or I'm scared of like I'm gonna fall and bust my ass. Like I don't know what it is. Like I'll be cool. Like say if I'm walking like. I'm on a hiking trail, right? And it's a narrow pathway. I'll stay closer to the side. I won't get towards the edge because maybe I don't trust myself enough to, like, be steady enough that I won't, like, slip and fall or something or, like, trip or stumble. Like, so I'm overthinking it so much now, and I got anxiety about it now. So now I'm going to make myself trip or something, do something stupid out of the ordinary that I wouldn't even do if my mind was calm.
I think it could be a combination of a couple of different things. So it depends. It's, like, one – if you had traumatic experiences from falling from heights or just falling in general.
Never.
See? So then, two, it's a instinctual fear. Like, it's you going into fight or flight mode, fight, flight, or flee, you know, mode when you getting close to the edge because you know it's impending danger.
Yes.
Even though you haven't took that step off, you looking and you seeing, you like, hey, she can get real if it do cross that, you know, take that walk. So it's like, your inner alarm is ringing saying, hey, danger is near. Danger. So
how do I get rid of that, though? Like
it depends. You feel me? It's like you don't want to completely desensitize it.
Right, because you want that to kick in.
You need
when
that.
It's actually that time for you it. You need to know.
But you don't want to keep it on all the time to where you always in that kind of state of mind, you know? So depending on what it is. Now, I don't know how high you was. I don't know.
I was at Lake. Not that was not saying Lake Chabot. That's where I went. And I did the first hike and I was scared. But when I went out there to Tulum, it wasn't super super high. But at the same time, it's like since I am prone to be scared of heights, it just kicked in automatically. I was just like, oh my God, like I'm a fall. Like I don't want to fall. I don't want to stumble. I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want no danger.
But like, was it only fear or was it excitement too? Because that's the thing. You feel me? Like you can be fearful about something, but you could also be kind of geeked about it. You feel me? You playing ping pong between the emotions. You know?
I think it was both. I wasn't just straight scared because I never would have went if I was just straight scared. Right. I was excited to go and see the views and experience that. But then at the same time, I was like, oh, shit. Like,
and it's something you ain't never did before?
Happened. Yeah. See, so. And it's a place I've never been. It's an environment I've never been. I'm not familiar with it. So it's like, okay, I've never been to this trail. I've never been to Tulum. Yeah. I don't know what's coming. I don't know. Like, you know, it's just a fear of not knowing, but a fear of, like, excitement at the same time.
Okay, so interesting. But to piggyback on that, I had a random scenario. It wasn't random. For my birthday, maybe around 2020, I was in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I went to the exotic car racetrack. Now, I have driven exotic cars before, but I've never driven on a racetrack. So I was driving a Lamborghini, and it was cool. I had the person who was next to me, you know, on co-piloting. We was driving. He was kept telling me to kick it up. I always drive fast, especially on the freeway and stuff. But it's different, you know.
When you're on a racetrack fast is different fast.
Different kind of fast, you know. So I'm excited about it, and I'm doing it. You know, I'm listening to what he's saying, and I'm pushing the acceleration. I'm hitting the gears. But I can't get past a certain, you know, like when I hit them corners and I got to start slowing down, you know, but he like, no, I push it. I'm like, I want to push it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know,
that fear coming. It's like, I'm right. Stuck because you like, I ain't never went this fast before, especially
never went
on
this,
a turn?
An official racetrack at that too.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, again, I done drove exotic cars before, but I never drove exotic cars like this. You feel me? On a racetrack at this kind of speed. So
what was the speed like on what he was telling you to push? Like,
man, we was up there. It was like hundreds. We was up there. It's a nice racetrack. It's cool,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Like, but I guess I felt like on the straight shot, it was cool to climb up and get past 100. But when it came to that turn, like, even though the car is made to stop at a dime, I have not experienced. I have never went through that before of me doing it and getting it down to a technique. You know, if you do something so many times, the habit outweighs the initial fear of you never did this before.
Yeah.
Or you are new to it, you know? Mm-hmm. But once you did something 100, 200, 1,000 times, it's like
it becomes walking. New to you. I'm
you
not
what
you
I mean?
Becomes, you know, part of your routine. Like, oh, this is normal. This is whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but if you never, and it's like that, I would have the same reaction like you putting me in a car. Like, I went fast on the freeway before, but like a racetrack where it's a
kind of
scenario. You thinking about all type of stuff in your mind. I was like, oh my God, like, you know, this speed ain't safe, or this is, I've never done this before. It's like, can I stop it?
Yeah.
If it's, I've never been in this experience before.
So that's why I apply that as far as to what you were saying about the zip lining, because,
oh my God,
you know,
I did it because I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to not have this experience because I'm scared. I'm going to just go for it because I just got to trust, like, you know, it kind of test your faith too, like, in a higher power, whatever you believe in. It's like, okay, God got me, or, you know, whatever you believe in, I'm good, I'm taken care of, I'm going to go across this, I'm going to make it safely to the other side, you know what I mean? You got to have that, or you got to manifest that, I'm about to, I was doing that, I put on my 432 hertz, and I was playing it in my pocket, and I just had it on me, I would just do my deep breathing as we had to climb up the stairs, because you got to climb all the way up, and then go across, so the height factor, everything's coming into play. I'm just like, it's not that far up. I kept telling myself that. It's not that far up. And then once I got all the way to the top, and I'm like, I was okay because all I seen was the top of the trees.
But see, you was also building it too. While you was taking those steps going up, you building, saying it's not that far up.
Yeah.
So you kind of already psyching yourself out, you feel me, before you even got to it.
But it's like I had to tell myself that because I'm just breathing. Like, everybody's chatting, chitter-chatting and talking to whoever they came with. I'm just like.
It's really not no rights and wrongs when it comes to decisions that we making. It's only consequences. It's only outcomes. It's only pros and cons. It ain't no, if you had a went or if you hadn't a went, you was going to have an equal amount of pros and cons. It just was going to present itself in different forms. You feel me? So it's like the more you had, like if you go back and you do it, like the person who y'all was doing it with, the professional, pretty sure that was probably like what, his 10th, 15th, 20th time in just that day?
Yeah.
Or her. I don't know him or her, you know? But when he first started doing that, first started working there, it probably was like, am I going to be, how am I going to be being responsible for somebody else doing this? It's different than doing it yourself, but now you're responsible for somebody else's life. You got to make sure everything is going right with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different level of anxiety, panic, or in, you know, even though it's a job, but you still, the same factors of doing it so many times.
Yeah.
You know, the consistency
yeah.
and the repetition brings down the anxiety and the fear. You know, but again, fear is not, it's not a negative or bad thing. It's needed for you to survive and for certain circumstances, but you got to know when to turn it on, when to turn it off, when is it appropriate, and what is it appropriate for.
So it's like you got to kind of learn how to control it.
Everything.
Basically, because, like I said, when I got there and once I went across, I was just so scared because I'm like, now I'm not on no type of platform. I am literally dangling in the air.
Facts.
Going across the forest. And I'm like, God, please, like, do not let this rope break. Because yeah. I would be like, I mean, the consequence is like, you're going to be severely injured. You know what I mean? If anything happens. So I'm just like, fuck it. And I close my eyes and I opened them and I close them and I opened them. And then once I got like close to getting to the other side, I kept them open so I could know when to, how to plant my feet and how to stop and everything like that. And it's the same thing with me. Like, well, I don't know. We just got on the subject of fear, but let's keep it rolling. So I'm also scared of, like, roller coasters. I don't fuck with roller coasters.
So that's also probably the reason why you had that fear.
Yeah, I don't fuck with roller coasters like that at all. Like, just when you see certain, especially when you see certain things that kind of, like, put fear into you, like, oh, this roller coaster stopped and we had to walk them down, or this roller coaster, you know, stopped it down, or this happened and somebody fell out, the equipment wasn't secured properly, and now, you know, somebody's injured. It's like, fuck, what the fuck? Why would I knowingly put myself in that danger? But it's like, when you think about it, cars the same way. Like, people get in accidents, people, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
I got to get to where I got to go.
That's facts.
It's a necessity. The roller coaster isn't.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm just choosing to put myself in danger. That's like, true. You know what I'm saying? On something that goes like this and, you know, does different things. So it's like, it's a different type of fear. Like, I'm, you know, because I don't have to get on a roller coaster every day. If I had to get on a roller coaster to go to work, I just got to do what the fuck I got to do.
It depends. Because it's like, okay, with, you can die any kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you, anything can happen. You,
yeah, you any, can trip, fall, bust your head wide open. Like, you know. So,
it's more of the, what was your experiences with roller coasters before in your past?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that make you think about it going wrong as far as, like, highlights? Like, for example, was it certain movies that you've seen?
Final Destination.
You know? But then also, it's like, are you doing this every day? If you get on a roller coaster once every 5 years, then it's be like, man, you ain't did it in a while. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like, ooh. But
that
because
feeling you get in your stomach too, it's like
you only doing it that once.
Yeah.
It's like after it's over, the feeling is going away. Because and the chances of you having a accident or something happening, because you only did it that once. Mm-hmm. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When things are man made, it's gonna break down. Stuff is gonna happen.
Right. You know?
Hell, even in nature, stuff is gonna happen. But you just increase the chances based on, I mean, for a lot of stuff, it just be jobs. You know, people do take it serious, but they just going to do a job. So
yeah.
Are they checking on it, on the machine properly? Are they doing their test runs? When the last time they services? How many times has this machine or this ride in particular had malfunctions?
Mm-hmm.
Or who's a designer? Because it also depend on who, you know?
And all these the last little time factors. Y'all tighten this shit up. Like, if it's been, you know, a year or two ago, I need you to go ahead and tighten it up before I get on that ride.
Facts.
You know? And you it's know? Like, I believe, too, people know you manifest things by the way you think. So that's why I had to kind of like I was talking about the zipline, I had to say, it's not that high up. Because when you think about, oh, this is going to happen, like, this is going to break, or line's going to break, and it's going to be, you can manifest that. Yeah. So it wouldn't even have happened had you had not thought about it so much. And manifested that, and it came out into the universe.
It's not like, just the thought, though. So the thought is part of the equation,
mm-hmm.
but the bigger part of it is the emotion that's connected to it. The thought is what send it out. That's the signal. It's electric. Mm-hmm. But the feeling behind it is what pull it back. It's magnetic. Mm-hmm. Feel me? So it's like, if you fear, I don't know why, but it seems fear is way more motivating than joy or happiness.
Yeah.
You know, like if you want to inspire somebody to get something done, scare their ass.
Yeah, put that fear in them. Like,
now, issues with the fear is it creates those psychological barriers. You mm-hmm. feel me? Those traumatic experiences. But if you are afraid of something, 9 times out of 10, you are going to work extra hard at that not happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you want something to happen, if you want to be successful, yeah, you might go for it. You're going to go through the process. But if you don't have no reason to not be successful, you may not have as much drive. And yes, it does depend on the individual and other circumstances. Everything mm-hmm. is circumstantial. But it's like, what is that drive, that force that's pushing you to do it?
To do it. You know? What's the reason? What's your reason behind it?
Fear is extremely powerful for motivating. Again, based on how you using it.
It's like, I don't want to be broke again. So you're going to do whatever you got to do to not be broke. You know what I'm saying? Not to go, because you know what it feel like.
Exactly. You don't want to experience that.
Back to that. So it's not, you like experiences and past trauma and everything. Like, you already know what it feel like. So that fear of being broke and being in that same position that you was in is motivating you to excel.
Now, you don't want to, the key is not to be, you recognize it, you could work with it, but you don't be controlled by it.
Mm-hmm.
You be in control of everything. Like, for example, a lot of people always talk about love, you know, being like one of the best things, but you got to be selfish and you have to be really conscious with your love, you know. Yes. Like, you're not just going around giving your love to everybody.
Mm-mm.
So you it's appropriate time, appropriate person, appropriate place. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, you may show love for a lot of people and a lot of things,
but you're not just giving love, it. Yeah,
same thing with love. The fear. It's all circumstantial. It's all time and place. You feel me? But learning to control your emotions, and especially learning to control your emotions in certain circumstances,
mm-hmm.
man, if once you can grasp that and you can do it, it can help you in so many situations with people. Because you're able to see things that everybody else is not able to see. You can see from different points of view because you're not coming from a personal connotative, you feel me, point of view. Like, right. It ain't just based off of what I feel and what I believe.
Looking around it from everything. Everything. Like, okay, well, let me just, you know, not selfish.
Paint a bigger picture, you mm-hmm. feel me? It lets you see a lot more than what you just will be peeping.
Mm-hmm. So The summary from that is, don't let fear get in your way.
Yeah,
don't let fear get in your way, because fear can stop you from doing a lot of things, or it can make you do a lot of things.
Yep.
So it's like, which one is it going to be for you?
That's facts.
And I don't want fear to stop me, because then you get like a certain age and it's like, damn, like I waited so long to probably like do something, and then you never know what it could have been or what it could have turned out to be.
Facts.
And you let your fears stop you, and then you see somebody else doing
facts.
It, or you know, somebody else took the experience, and it's like, damn, like, you can only be mad at yourself,
because
you have to have control.
Especially if it's something that you want to do. You got to mm-hmm. have courage. Courage is, that's the only way for you to beat fear. If you feel me, you're fearful, you got to have courage.
How do you attain courage?
By doing it. By doing what it is that you're afraid of. Now, I'm not saying you just got to jump right into it, you know, but baby stepping it a little bit at a time, inch by inch, mm-hmm. mile by mile, you know, eventually you get overcome it. And if you can overcome it that one time, then you can overcome it again. The more times you overcome it, the more comfortable you are with it.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So. Yeah.
You right about that. You right.
Okay. Well, a little something.
Y'all scared out there. Scared. What you been up to?
Man, life. So much. It's a lot.
life and what's going on in your life right now? Talk to me.
So let's see, things that I have been working on. A couple of courses. Been doing a lot of trading, a lot more trading with metals, stock trading.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of been kind of adamant about that. Let's see. Working with a lot of people with their issues, those psychological barriers, and doing a lot of energy work. That's probably been probably one of the main things besides being a parent, if I'm being a dad, that's like the 23/7 thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, just trying to advance and evolve, you know, be the best version of myself. I had this epiphany not too long ago, maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, and it was something that was saying we getting to this point of time where everything around us is imploding and collapsing because mm-hmm. we're going into a new system. I remember we was talking about it before, like, you know, the first time I came on, it was the Great Reset. Mm-hmm. So now that the Great Reset is actually taking place and you seeing it happen all around, it's, you still going to be playing the same game, but it'll be
a different level.
Different level, but more players. You feel me? Like, it's the base level of things is going to be the same. It's still going to be, you're going to need to survive. So what do you need to survive? Shelter, food, water, clean air, resources. Mm-hmm. You're still going to have to interact with people, you know, and get stuff done. But you will have new players, for example, and this will go sound kind of, you know, odd, but for example, let's go with the robotics thing. You know, it is a high possibility since AI came out. They are starting now to move forward towards actual physical robots with the AI technology. Like, I don't know if you've seen that video in SF in New York. They had the robot police dogs.
Did you? I heard about it, but I didn't see it for myself.
So things like that, you know, again, same game. You feel me?
Different players, for sure.
You know. With a lot of the companies, our economy is kind of crashing right now. Some vicious, like probably going to be worse than the Great Depression. Mm. A lot of these companies is closing, but the companies that are not closing are doing serious infrastructure changes. So a lot of people is getting the boot, and they are going to be replaced with AI and, you feel me, robots. Again, same game. You still got to pay your bills. Mm-hmm. Inflation is still high. Mm-hmm. You still got to do commerce and everything, but different players. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So now you competing with
robots now instead of another human being. And that's what I was, when I was going to talk about robots, I'm like, so what does that mean for us? Like our means of living, people that do work at factories and warehouses and things like that, because I feel like they would be replaced first, because we're going to have that. I mean, when I was working at Amazon a long time ago, they already had, like, the little robot coming in and, you know, doing different things and different functions and things like that. But now it's more advanced. Like, we're talking about not machine robots, but, like, as in people robots that can actually replace you and do your job.
It's coming in as far as, like, convenience, you know? So the start of the introduction, it'll be with little simple things, like things that just make your life a lot more easier, like the little robot house cleaning thing that just, you know.
It's baby steps. Everything is baby steps. I said, we didn't even know, like, with Siri and Alexa. I was like, that's the start. So baby start. Always, like you said, convenience. Yeah. Hey, Siri, call so-and-so, right, or Alexa, so put this song on.
You done used it so many times to where you are now more dependent on it, and you're not used to doing something like, let me go look in the dictionary or the encyclopedia, go look this up. I can just Google it or ask Siri. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So it starts there, but now, again, everything has pros and cons. It's no good. It's no right. It's just is what it is.
Yeah.
So with all of the jobs being lost from that, they're also going to have a good chunk of new jobs being created. Yes. But you have to know the skills. Like the same skills that you will have for the factory worker, but now, do you have any kind of experience or any kind of knowledge working with these machines? Mm-hmm. So you add that together, skill stacking. You feel me? So that's just where it's going to. And then as far as, because the economy is what the economy is, and you got that happening with a whole bunch of different reasons, as far as especially with our dollar going out the window, the BRICS nation with Russia and China getting, you know, finna kick off their own currency backed by gold. A lot of things happening for us, but it also a possibility of a universal basic income. Yeah. So they had that, and they run it in Australia to where it's like, and I can see that happening as far as on a global level, especially here, it's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
But because money is not real.
So, know? Like, what you're saying is everybody going to be using, like, the same currency?
Okay, so it's going to get to that point. But, like, for example, like, as of right now, like, I can pull out 20. They show you what it is. It's we use this and we say that it's money. Mm-hmm. You know? But it literally says the Federal Reserve note. You know, so what this is like monopoly money. It's an IOU. You know, like, if you have a good, I'm going to give you this in exchange for that good, but it's not really worth anything. The only worth that this has is the belief system of what me and you feel this has.
Yeah.
You know? And it's through conditioning and being, you know, passed on generationally. I say from the 30s on is when they started using this. And it's a swing back, so we're going back the other direction. Mm-hmm. It's going to go from being paper to being digital. Everybody is kind of already went through it with COVID. Yeah. That was the pre-step. When they was like, they not really accepting any paper. Everything was on Zelle.
Everything was conditioned.
Everything
like
was agenda. Quick. It's no touching, no physical. So now they got the Fed Now rolling out. I think it just came out in July. Mm. So with the universal basic income, it's easy to create money out of thin air because the money is not, that we consider money is not anything but this made up paper.
Yeah.
You know, so when they start passing out the next level of PPPs and ED, what was the COVID support? It was the PPPs and
the stimulus. Stimulus check, PPPs and all that money they was giving away. It's like they're trying to get rid of it. Like, here's all this money. Yeah. We're about to come in with a new currency.
So the stimulus now package would be digital, you know? Mm. And it'd be, that's the way the universal basic income would look. It'd be like you'll get a stipend. You know, a month or every couple of weeks to cover your basic necessities. Mm-hmm. So this would be for everybody, just so you could have enough. Now, it's not to say that you're not going to be living in a shack, but you got a roof over your head. It's not to be say that, you feel me, you might be eating fly burgers or humans, but you got protein, you got some food in your stomach, or what is classified or considered food. Mm-hmm. You know? So it'll be the same game, feel me, but different changes, you feel me? And it's like, because people are so, they get swept up by the technical, like, for example, being stuck on social media, looking at their phone, swiping, people spend so much time. That will upgrade to being into the metaverse and being into, you know, the digital reality. Mm-hmm. So now, you seen Ready Player One?
No.
You never seen it? Gotta see why Ready Player One.
I gotta see it.
Gotta watch it. The way that they were living, you feel me, in the real life was like shit.
Mm-hmm. But they was living lavish.
In the video game. Yeah. You feel me? So the same little, you stuck on your headset all day, your computer, your game, everything. Mm-hmm. Like, they got jobs in the metaverse. They got, what was it called? I think it's Sandbox, where you can actually make money, you know, being a waitress or being a bartender in the metaverse.
That's crazy.
You get paid real money, you know. So
what's the agenda behind that, though? Like, they trying to keep us in the house or what? Like, they just want us to be everybody stuck on that while they outside coming up with all this other new shit and we not paying attention to it. We so stuck in the metaverse. I feel like it's a distraction.
It's
for something else.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, yeah, yeah.
For sure,
It's like, because, and this get into the subject of the aliens and the other things that's happened as far as on a macro level, like the changes that our planet is going through. Like, for example, for the last, I believe, week, it was more than 14 M-class solar flares. Mm. So I don't know if you're familiar with solar flares or not, but they have ranges. M-class is, I think, one away from an X-flare. Mm-hmm. X-flare is the highest level of solar radiation hitting our planet. You feel me? M-class is literally one away from that. We had 14 in 7 days straight bombarded of high activity radiation. The radiation, what it does is, think about it like a microwave. If you put something inside of a microwave and let's say the plate isn't spinning all the way, mm-hmm. and you put it on like 4 minutes, take it out, it'd be hella hot in some places.
And cold in other places. Right. We know all about that.
Now, if you put that same food in that same container on that same time inside the microwave, do it again and put the plate on, right? Or, you know, take it from where it originally was when it was cold and you warming it up and it's on, right? And you stop it, let's say, 2 minutes the way through, stir it up, keep it going.
Yeah.
When you take it out at the end, it's going to be well balanced. It's going to be hot all over.
Mm-hmm.
So think of the microwave as this container or the universe or our solar system. Think of the plate as the earth. Think of the bowl as your body. Mm. Think of the substance that's in the bowl as your brain. Mm. And think of the radiation from the microwave as the radiation from the sun. Mm. If you ain't well balanced out here, you're going to be fucked.
Yeah.
Now, this also plays with certain things that they may have, like the jab, or you feel me, certain things that may be in the food. Like, for example, we was talking about human burgers, you feel me, or whatever. These things that
you
is,
know about the breeze past human burgers.
Yeah, they was, yeah. They was, that's
you're not about to breeze past
that. Nah, yeah, that's.
It's a thing.
That's.
I feel like.
That's a thing.
It's like fast food places.
Like, it's getting to a point to or, where it has been, I believe they have said, and I'm not sure what state it is, but it has been federally accepted. So, yeah.
To have human DNA
in
the food.
Yeah. But now it was also something where they came out and they were saying that it was already there in some of these fast food restaurants anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like,
ain't no way. Like, you, I don't know. I would just have to think about that because it's like, it's so many factors. Just alone, you know how many McDonald's it is in the world?
Right.
In the world, not America, in China and the UK and other places in the world. Like, it's so many fast food places. They can't all just be using real beef, real cows, real chicken, all that stuff.
But
like,
see, now,
it's
even
artificial.
Even with that, a lot of people don't know the cow and the chicken, they artificial as well. Mm. Chickens, the chicken that we use is a blend, a crossbreed of a chicken from India or a rooster from India and another bird. The cow is a crossbreed of, I'm trying to think of what it is. It's some kind of bull or something else, but it's made. It's not a real animal. So the thing about how the sun and the radiation plays a part, whatever you eat goes to your body. The radiation mutates that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either going to mutate it on a 9 or it's going to mutate it on a 6.
Mm-hmm.
It's either something that is more alkaline, it's going to give you energy, or something that's acidic, it's going to create something else. The mutation or the radiation from the sun mutates whatever that is, and that disease turns into something on steroids.
Talk about it, because I heard that before when I was reading up, well, I read up on it really. So it's like, okay, well, is the sun supposed to be good for you?
Depends
and some
on
people
who
are
you
like,
are.
It depends on who you are.
And everything's like, circumstantial.
Depends on what you're putting in your body, because if you want to sit in the sun all day, but you eating burgers, fries,
not
and
just
all this type of stuff like that, right? I mean, it would be more acidic for you because you're not eating the proper things. But if you eating, say you eating fruits and vegetables all day,
that's,
and you go stand out in the sun.
Yeah, but that's for people who got melanated. You see, now you hit on it. That's a good. That's because if you don't have a lot of melanin in you in the sun, you still fucked.
You still
you
fucked.
Feel
up.
Me? So it's to move forward from where we, because everything changed pre 2020. We ain't in the same place we was in 2020.
Yeah,
we someplace different, and we going someplace different.
Yeah,
and in order to move forward from to where we getting, you're gonna have to have enough melanin to where the sun is not physically affecting you, but you're also going to have the right consciousness, you feel me, to where the environment and the radiation or the everything recognizes you as not an enemy. You know how, like, when you get sick and you eat something that you're not supposed to have, or you catch a cold, your body heat up.
And they're trying to fight it off.
Trying to get out what's in your system that ain't supposed to be in your system. Mm-hmm. Everything in your body attacked that thing.
Yes.
So the planet is going through that same process.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look like you artificial, or you look like you're not part of you supposed to be here,
yeah,
you may not be here. And you're going to start seeing it a lot. Like, from 2020 to right now, death done kicked up like that.
Is that, like, why they say, like, the non-melanated people are dying off quicker? That and they worried about their population that's why dying off?
It's a lot of pushing when it comes to the mixed blending. You feel me? Because you got to have a certain amount of melanin to be able to convert the radiation from the sun into energy from your body to where it's not messing you up. You feel me, y'all? We talked about it last time, too. Like, in the Bible, they call it leprosy or melanoma.
Yeah.
You feel me? Allergic or photodermatitis is the proper term, but being a skin reaction or a skin allergic to the sun, you know, being allergic to the sun. And then it turns into skin cancer.
Skin cancer is like the next step.
Now, the same thing, how it turns into that, this is how we get the zombies. You feel me? As far as the jab or as far as if you eat in human patties or if you eat in, you feel me, certain things that it's like they pass as, yes, you can eat this, but you don't know the long-term effects, you feel me, 10 years, especially when you add radiation.
Yeah.
So that's how we get into the zombies. I don't remember if you remember maybe around 2014, it was the bath salt thing.
Oh, yeah, everybody on bath salts, and they acting crazy right, and everything.
They had, now, it was something, I think it was earlier this year. Well, shit, I actually just posted something last night about this lady who had, I guess she had sex with a dead body, a corpse. You feel me? Yeah, because apparently the corpse got hard, you feel me, and she was working there. And wait a minute, it gets wackier. So the lady had sex with the corpse. Apparently the corpse got her pregnant. Wait a minute. Wait, it gets crazier. So after she got pregnant, she's trying to sue the family for child support. Right. Right. I'm going to send it to you.
You was up here. I'm not. Did this.
Right.
Foul.
Right.
Activity.
Right.
And you got enough nerve right. to ask for child support right. from a dead person.
Right. Like, right.
You should be going to jail, first of all.
I think she did get locked up and she's still trying to ask. Now, the thing about it, you feel me,
that's
is
crazy.
The zombies. You feel me? Now, you have the form as far as from the. And not knowing what's happening, you feel me, and the mutation there, but now you have things like this happening.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So you got all these different factors. I don't know if you've seen, it was something the CDC put out about the what to do if it was a zombie apocalypse. You know,
are they trying to pre-warn us? Because there might be something coming out. How do you become a zombie?
I would assume it's from, you feel me, mutations. How mutations, it is in the movies.
Yeah.
But how does the mutations happen?
The radiation, right?
What? You feel me? I don't know.
Just
I just know for some reason, everything that we seen in movies in the 90s is now here.
It's now here. It's coming everything. To pass. So that Walking Dead, they was everybody so tuned you in the world. I'm talking about everybody was watching that. It was like, oh, my God. So, you know, now we know we got to shoot them if we want to kill them. We want to do this and different type of things you got to do if you want to get rid of the zombies or to get away from that type of shit. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like it's preparing now, us.
The things that my theory on it is nothing from the movies or from these sci-fi, you know, it's not presented. It's not going to be presented exactly how it was, but look for the key points, you feel me, of what it is. Like, I don't know if people just going to be out here, you feel me, just eating brains, you know, and stuff like that. But it is people out here doing questionable stuff, like even right now, you feel me?
Yeah,
and you add on another factor, you feel me, to the zombie thing is the drugs, you feel me? It's been a spike with meth, amphetamine, like, and they got fentanyl in everything.
In
the weed, fentanyl in the coke, fentanyl in the meth, fentanyl in some of the food.
Yeah.
It was a place where fentanyl was actually in burgers in Florida. Like, I'm trying to think, I'll send that to you too. But, yes.
And then people lose their minds because I'm working directly with a mental health facility. So it's like you see people come in there. It's all based off of, like you said, you was going to John George and everything like that. Those clients they are gone from drugs. They was totally fine. Totally fine until they took a hit of, got on meth or some got laced with fentanyl and now they're in here and their mind is gone. Now they own these schizophrenia drugs, bipolar drugs. They got anxiety. They're talking. They're hearing voices in their heads and talking to them. I see it firsthand.
It gets deeper too. Now you've got, as far as these things, the drugs, it alters your mind and puts you in a different state. The thing about it is, because of the place that we are in and where we have come to, where the veil is being lifted, the dimensions is merging, shit that was fantasy and myths are now becoming like, oh man, you know, some of these things actually are here.
Yeah.
You feel me? And when it comes to things like people seeing things or people hearing things,
hallucinations.
Is it that, or is they really seeing it? And because they own what they own, they actually are tapped into that spectrum. Mm-hmm. Because now the veils, like the layers that was around the planet, being the Van Allen belt, the ozone layer, you feel me? Other different layers, they're gone. They are bye bye. That's why we're getting more radiation from the sun. Mm-hmm. And the sun being, as far as it being a it's burning hotter, it's burning brighter, and we get more suns, you feel me? So it's like, with these things happening, what is the effects happening on somebody's brain who under the substance? You feel me? Then you putting all the other stuff in your body too. Now,
so then that mutates it because of what's in their body already.
So you have a lot of people out here, they on zombie mode, even though they physically not on zombie mode. Mm-hmm. They're mentally like castrated. You feel me? They and the zombie being, they are walking around, you feel me, but they're dead. You feel me? Like, they don't have no goals, they don't have no dreams, they don't really show any emotion, you feel me? Or like, for example, if somebody does something out of pocket, you feel me, it's no longer that, hey, man, don't do that. You feel me?
It's like
the morality and the morals are going out the window.
Mm-hmm. So they just prone to do whatever.
Whatever. You feel me? Everybody say they on demon time. You feel me?
And they manifest that shit like, you are a demon. I'm on demon time. Now, I'm on demon time. I mean, I'm finna be out doing whatever, you know, whatever I feel like I want to do, I'm going to do it. Ain't nobody stopping me from doing it. I'm going to be on my bad behavior, act bad, all that type of stuff. It's like being pounded into our mind. And it's like, bro, right. Like, and I feel like it's a lot of the, what are they, Generation X, Z? Or
I couldn't even tell you.
The youngest ones. Yeah. So it's like, I seen, and it's so sad because I seen a lot of 18, 19, 20, you should not be in this program already. Mm. Like, they went to college, was doing whatever, one of my clients, and then they had some drugs. And now they're in this mind frame where it's like, they sleep all day. They drool and can't control their drool. Like, that's part due to the psych meds too. But just being stuck. And being sluggish like a zombie, like you said. So it's just like, when I see that, I'm like, you're only 19, you're only 20 years old, bro, and you're worried about drugs.
But you can get it from different, it's many ways to get to that state. Mm-hmm. Some dudes get to that state from playing video games too long.
Yeah.
Some people get to that state from, they'd be at their job working too much, you feel me? They dedicated everything to their job, you feel me? And they just an office, a company floor mat, you feel me? Some people get in that state from substance abuse. Some people get in that state emotionally. You feel me? Like, they'll be in an abusive relationship physically and psychologically, and they just stuck. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like, they stuck. They can't do nothing about it. You feel me? It's a lot of different ways to get there, but then it all has still to do with the mental and the vibration that you are on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's your consciousness level.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody is taking hella substance, 9 times out of 10, they're taking substance because they want to feel something. Either they want to feel good because they like the feeling, or because they're trying to escape something.
Escape something, exactly.
If you wasn't trying to escape it, then you wouldn't be abusing it like it is. You feel me? And it wouldn't be the consequences of you abusing it. If somebody had the right consciousness of, as far as, like, and this could get a little touchy, when as far as abusive relationships. They are in that situation. Yeah, they got with that person by will. Mm-hmm. are they stuck with that person because, you feel me, they are physically shackled to that person, you know, as far as, like, man, they whooping their ass if they trying to go, or are they mentally shackled?
Stuck on, feel yeah.
Me? Emotionally shackled. Mm-hmm. Feel me? They doing to themselves. They can't really leave. Their consciousness is there, and they like, man, I deserve this, or this is as good as I get, or something. The worst one is, I love this person, and this person loves me. That's, you feel me, is that the version of love, or what, you feel me? Because only what you
they
can
know.
Defy.
If they ain't experienced true love, then they would know that.
But only
that's
you
not
can defy what
love.
True love is for you. Yeah, you feel yeah, me? Yeah. Like, if you say that this is love for you, then who's to tell you that this ain't love for you? You yeah. make a declare of what this is. You feel me?
Yeah.
And a lot, like you said, a lot of people have not been exposed. You can only be what you've been exposed to.
Exactly. And so if you haven't been exposed to the proper love, somebody pouring into you and right. helping you out and wanting the best for you,
you
if you experience
that,
you would not stay
facts.
In that type of environment, I feel like.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So if you've never experienced that and you grew up in maybe an abusive household, or if you grew up and, you know, people not showing that much love towards you, or giving, you know, a fuck about what you got going on, whatever like that, is everybody for themselves, it's like, oh, this person, you know, took me in and we're together now. Right. They cared about me at first. That's how they rule you in. And then that's when, you know, other things can start to take place. Like, once they got you, and then, like, oh, I'm start, you know, maybe verbally yeah. abusing, physical abusing. Now I'm mentally abusing you and everything like that. It plays a part. And now you feel like you're stuck because this is the only love you know.
But to interject, I have to say that I think love is a combination of different things, but people just use the love word.
Mm.
If you break down what love is a lot of patience. Love is a lot of hard work. Love is a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Love is a lot of consistency. Love is a lot of sacrifice. Love is a combination of a lot of different things that you might necessarily not want to do, you feel me, or in things that you do want to do together, you feel me? Mm-hmm. That's what makes the love, you feel me? Like,
yeah.
For example, if you think about the relationship between you and your child. You feel me? They say it's no love like a mother's love.
Mm.
The reason why it's no love like that love is because the experiences that you went through to have that child, the
yeah.
experience that you have with that child.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you done built that rapport and that bond. If you think about the relationship that you'll have with, you know, okay, for example, I don't know if you still with the person, you feel me, or not, but with the father, you mm-hmm. feel me, that love was what it was. And for some people, it don't turn into that. You feel me? It turned into something else because they're not putting in that work. They're not putting in all of that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And their concepts of what love is based on some Disney, you feel me, TV reality shit compared to what it actually
it
is.
It actually is. They got to show you got to put in that work.
Man,
and I'm learning that now. Even
love is work, even with yourself.
Come on now.
Self-love, you feel
self-love
me?
Self-love is absolutely, like, some people struggle to love themselves
because that's the work. You
and
can't
that's
be
why
lazy.
They efforts
you feel me?
Ain't aligning. Like, you say you want this, you want that. If you really loved yourself and you really, you know, thought this out, you would be going on that right path. You would be operating differently in every aspect of your life.
Some people
are
fearful.
Yourself.
They scared. Mm-hmm. They scared. They lazy.
They
don't
set boundaries.
They
learned
no
that.
Control or no discipline. Mm-hmm. You feel me? These things are required to achieve goals. You feel me? And if love is a goal for yourself, especially self-love,
yeah.
then you have to put in the work.
And be disciplined. Feel me?
And that shit hard. You feel
it
me?
Is.
Especially right now.
It
it's
is.
It's hard. It's
because
hard.
Everybody for self. I feel it like is. Everybody is for self right now, which is okay. You know, you can be for
degree.
Self, but not all the time. It has to be a balance. And that brings me into this brings me into female rap.
Oh, sheesh.
Yeah. Man, I want to get into it. I want to talk about female rap because I feel like I said we talking about agendas and shit, conspiracies, agendas, and everything of that nature. So I feel like it's definitely like
how deep
agenda.
Do you want to get into it? How deep do you want to get into it?
I'm with it. We can talk about it all because I'm like, like I said, everybody's for self right now, and especially, like, the women, I feel like. Okay, so first of all, I want to say this. It's a lot of female rappers out right now, and I want to give a shout-out to all. I'm about any black woman getting her money, right. First of all. So I want to say that first and foremost. So it's like, okay, the light is shining on us right now. It's like nobody's really talking about, like, men coming together and rap right now. It's like more of the women that's being promoted, but the type of rap that's being promoted from women, it's like I was kind of going back and forth with it in my own mind because I'm just like,
This about to feel good. This about to get good. We're about to go in.
Yeah. So it's like you got the sexy red, and pound town, and then you got the city girls. Like, you start with the city girls and, you know, get a bag, fuck a nigga and get the bag. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's all about getting money from men and everything like that. And as men, y'all know, it requires some money to get us. It's not like a sexual exchange thing. It was like, I got to put in that time, that effort, that money to get this woman. But then when you hear the music that's being put out now from these female rappers and then all type of nasty, just downgraded, you know, degrading things that they talk about. And then you go back and look at it again from like somebody like, because it's been around. Female rap been around where they've been talking nasty and degrading, like Lil Kim, you got Nicki Minaj, you got Sean, you got Trina, yeah. Like all those, it was okay, but now the way it's being presented now is like
it's an overload of it,
and we dissing men at the same time. Yeah. The female rap back then wasn't really about that, so now it's like a divide, like, okay, well, now we like, fuck you, we don't need you, but I'm gonna take your money. And now men are looking at it like, we know it take money and stuff to get y'all, and we got to show y'all that we want y'all, but now it makes them not even want to do it, because you might be on this type of time. So I'm gonna spend my money on you, but then I got the bag, he flew me out, you ain't never hear from me again. You know what I'm saying? But then you got the other side of women too, and we in our soft life, and we're thriving in our femininity. It's so like you got that woman, confused. And then you got this type of woman.
And then a lot of them doing the same thing. Okay, so.
Let's go.
Before, I will say, everything that we have just talked about up until this moment, mm-hmm. even how if they seem separate, mm-hmm. it all goes together. It is a giant spider web. Mm-hmm. Giant spider web of energy. Everything is connected. It's directly connected at that. Mm-hmm. Next thing. As far as with everything that is happening, nothing out here that is happening, regardless of how extreme or outrageous or out of pocket it seems, mm-hmm. nothing is happening by mistake or by coincidence. Everything is happening by design.
Yes.
Timelines and history is extremely important. You feel me? Especially if you can get to proper timelines and proper history as far as you see it from different points. Now, if you do the timeline as far as just with the female raps, you know, we got this year, you feel me, Sexy Red, Pound Town is where it's at right now. Mm. 2003 or 2023, this is August, okay? Yes. So let's say we rewind a couple of years ago, or last time I was here, I think City Girls had just came out, you feel me? Mm-hmm. It was that. Fast forward or rewind a couple of years before that, let's say around 2016, Cardi B was starting to blow up. She kicked it off. The only person who was before Cardi on that kind of level was Nicki Minaj. Rewind back to her period to where she was really starting to, you feel me, blow up with Young Money. I think that was around 2012.
Yeah.
You go to the period before that, you had Trina. Before Trina, you had, like you said, Shauna. Then you had Lil' Kim, Foxy Brown in mm-hmm. the mid to early 90s. But you also had The Brat, Missy Elliott.
Missy.
You had Erykah Badu.
More creative. Like, they still talk sexual, Hill. But it was, you know.
You had different. Conscience. Now, that's the timeline as far as you can go back further to MC Light and mm-hmm. you feel me?
Queen Latifah,
Salt and Pepper, all of them. Now, introduction from that period to now. As far as when the time, as far as females really start getting in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the direction of hip-hop from back then, you feel me?
Changed.
Right. When hip-hop first started, you feel me? It was, I can't think of the name.
Yeah.
You feel me? So that was the introduction. I think that was either early 80s, mid 80s. You feel me? You had the crack epidemic. Again, mm-hmm. spiderweb. Everything directly connected.
Mm-hmm.
When the Public Enemy came out after that, KRS-One, the late 80s, early 90s, hip-hop wasn't none really too much violent. It was all fight the power. It was, you feel me? It was a off-brand. Or
it was
off,
for the people.
It was an off movement from the civil rights movement, you feel me, and mm-hmm. the activists, because that mm-hmm. was their generation. In the the late 80s, early 90s, when NWA first came out, that's when everything changed and it started going towards, you feel me, a route of where it is right now.
Yeah.
In the 90s, and that's when they introduced Dr. Dre and Warren G. They actually talk about this, you feel me, being a thing. They had a meeting, you feel me, with some Hollywood heads, and they told them to introduce the G frequency, and that's when they was doing the G funk. Mm-hmm. You feel me? That frequency being the lowest vibration frequency, you feel me, on the scale, was all an energetic game. You feel me? A spider web, everything connected. Pass on, you feel me, as far as that opening up to the gangster music, you feel me, into the gangster introduction. The companies, you feel me, of like Jive, Interscope, Sony, you feel me, had artists. They was paying the artists, and you could hear Meek, you feel me, and a lot of other artists talking about this. They paid the artists to talk more about negative shit, you feel me, than they do about positive shit. Mm-hmm. They took it from then, you feel me, of when it first started getting popping, the gangster era music. They was flooding more money into it and putting those artists out more mainstream.
Yeah.
Remember, in that time period, it was no Spotify. It was no Pandora. It was no download. It was no streaming. It wasn't none of that shit. They had tapes, barely had CDs.
Yeah.
If you wanted your shit played, you had to go through these companies to get your shit on the airway. Mm-hmm. Because all of these airways, KMEL, the main radio station in New York, I think y'all probably got one out here, but I'm not sure if the one out
Club
here
or not Breakfast Club,
Hot 97. So
yeah,
they're all owned by Viacom. You feel me? So same company control. You feel me?
Yeah.
You can only do what your company allow you to do. You got to follow whatever the rules they say. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So the artists that they was putting out and they was promoting, certain kind of artists. They were only signing certain kind of artists. If you look at the 90s, how rap and hip-hop was, you feel me, it was a halfway of consciousness, you feel me, and halfway of the gangster shit ain't even started taking off for real until the 2000s.
Yeah, 2000s is when it was, like, heavy on
so,
more violence and everything like that, because we've been talking about that.
You ain't hear too many songs, you feel me, of rappers calling females bitches. That's when, I remember when, I think it was something with the NCAAP, when they came out and they was criticizing rap music then, and they was talking about the dudes rapping and doing what it is. Again, the people are getting paid to do present this and do what it is. That's what these artists are getting from their labels, their managers, the executives, you feel me? That's what they pushing. Now, on the other side, the effects is going out the community, you feel me? The younger generation is seeing this because it's all that they seeing. They getting bombarded by the music videos, old school, the box, you feel me? 106 in Park, you feel me? Getting bombarded on the radio, you feel me? And you getting bombarded at school is what everybody's talking about. Again, psychological programming and conditioning, you feel me? So fast forward, you got from the early 2000s, it was the big shirt, big pants era, you feel me?
Oh my gosh, shorts all the way down here.
You feel me? So then you start getting into crunk era, you feel me, with Lil Jon and them, you feel me? Mm-hmm. Atlanta started taking off,
they Dirty South music. So
now Atlanta runs the hip-hop scene now, feel me, as far as on a... They've been doing it for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it first started taking off out over down there. Then you have, I say, in the around after the hyphy movement here, which was around 2004, 2005 to, I say, 2005, 2006, 2007. It went from the hyphy movement to the punk rock movement with the
Lil Wayne on the skateboards. Everybody and start promoting that.
Again, psychological timelines. Mm-hmm. You feel me? The words are still at play. Like, they was rapping about getting money. Some dudes talking about fuck bitches. Lil Wayne had came out with the
Truck Fit.
It was the The Money on My Mind, the Carter 2.
Okay.
You feel me? That the get money, fuck bitches. That's when that period was heavy.
Yeah.
You feel me? A heavy agenda on pushing the money, fuck bitches. It's still a divide. You feel me? Psychological warfare. You're moving forward from that period to, again, that's around 2006, 2007, a couple of years after that. The men start becoming more feminized. You feel me? They started doing more singing. Chris Brown, Drake. That was when the hip-hop started going singing as far as what it is. the females was there, like you had the Eves, Nicki Minaj, again, Missy, the Brat, but they had bars. Yeah. Even when they was talking bullshit. They had bars. Had old school. Gangsta Boo, you had what's her name from that was with No Limit. Damn, I can't think of his sister. You feel me? They had Lady of Rage.
Yeah.
You done had a lot of females talking that, but they had bars and they wasn't as vulgar. You mm-hmm. feel me? Now, again, like I said, back then they was pushing from tapes. Then it started being CDs. You remember probably when you was in high school, was niggas out selling CDs on the block? They're trying to flag you down.
Yeah,
you
out there mixtape. Mm-hmm, and a little females, paper sleeve.
Did you ever see any females out there trying to pass you a mixtape?
No.
Did you ever, like...
Hey, here go my... Hey, listen to my... No, it was any of always... That.
It was always niggas, right?
It was always a nigga.
Okay, so then you get to the point of where, again, everything's spiderweb. Nothing is happening by design. You feel me? The music may be one thing, but the music has nothing to do with as far as the increase in women, especially primary melanated women in positions of power in these companies, positions of power in politics, positions of power in movie roles.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? It's not just as far as the movie roles as the actress, but the storyline being based around that character being primarily women.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the trajectory of where it's been for the last 10 years, it done spiked. Like, all attention done went, you feel me, from the male, and it done been diverted, you feel me, to the woman. Mm-hmm. Now, on a solar and a galactic universal level, the energy that's coming in to the planet is a feminine energy now. Mm-hmm. You feel me? It's because this...
Taking over.
This universe is a feminine universe. You feel mm-hmm. me? It's a... the planets are all females. You feel me? The sun is the only thing that is male. It's electric. Yeah. The sun is electric, and the planets are feminine or magnetic. That's why the planets fall or go around, you feel me, the sun. You feel mm-hmm. me? That same thing, as above, so below, when you see the reason why it was able to go as far as, you feel me, pushing the money, you feel me, thing, because in nature, if that person or that male is getting all that money, you feel me, for what this program is or what this game, this concrete jungle, it looks like he is a top, you feel me, top status, alpha, because of what the tool it is of being the money thing. You feel me? If this was, let's say, the 1800s or, you feel me, hell, let's say the power go out, the money is not going to be important, but the principles or the relationships between male and women would still be the same. Women would be attracted to the man that is doing that thing, you feel me, that they would consider high
mm-hmm.
because it's a natural thing. The energy being switched, all of this natural, organic, divine, feminine energy coming in. Yeah, some divine masculine energy coming in too, but it's heavy on the divine feminine energy coming in. Women are we're going back towards to where it was more of the ancient world. Right now, this system, our society for the last, I say, last couple of hundred years has been more of a patriarchal, artificial patriarchal society at that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear about, as far as in religion, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we all got belly buttons.
Yeah.
It ain't, you feel me?
Where we all got a belly button,
but it's no mention. It's no mention of that. You feel me?
Yeah.
And for it to be something as influential and serious that people rooted in their belief system, this is how serious psychological programming is. You may think, you feel me, because of the conditioning, you think in Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you feel me, but your biology, your physical has belly button. You literally came from your mom.
Yeah.
It's no ands, ifs, and buttons. One thing is a belief. The other thing actually happened. You feel mm-hmm. me? So it's a disconnect somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Where is that person? You know, where is Mother Nature? Where is she at? You feel me? In Islam, you feel me? It's a lot of energy put towards, you feel me, the woman being on a lower level, you feel me,
mm-hmm.
than in a lot of the Middle Eastern countries. This ain't my opinion, you feel me? This
is
what
facts.
You feel me? And they are basing these principles off of what they read in the Quran or Islam. Now, I'm not saying it's again, everything is circumstantial and it's based on how you interpret it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't interpret it like that from, you feel me, reading the Quran. Even saying Allah is a feminine name. You feel me? So, but you only know that if you do the study. You feel me? And it's like people mentality is stuck on a patriarchal man agenda. You feel me? The energy that is coming in that's shaking shit up is feminine. Mm-hmm. The people who run this game, you feel me, right now, are aware of what is going to happen before the average Joe does, because they got the Texas and, you feel me, they done been able to set up shop for the last couple of hundred years. Mm-hmm. You feel me? To play the, keep the telephone game going. It's coming in and they trying to get ahead of it. That's why you also see, I don't have no issue with nobody doing whatever they, you feel me, be who you want to be, love what you want to love, you feel me, do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But be true to yourself. Know why you are how you are. And the reason why I say that, as far as getting into the whole the gender thing right now, it's a big discussion, you feel me, with a lot of dudes switching sides, you feel me? Yeah, it's happening with a lot of women too, but it's more the men
right now, because we're in that feminine state. You said that we switched over into that feminine.
We going realm. To it. So the power is going to the women.
To the, keep your masculine or what?
If you see a lot of, like, you will see some dudes, you feel me, who melanated, who is going to, going with that process. But a lot of the dudes is more European cats. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Who was on top of, you feel me? If you're in the patriarchal system, the person who was the man.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
For the last, we don't know who the fuck this person looked like. It just was a description, you feel me? And it was the name, the man, you feel me? With it going from the man to the woman, you feel me, back to where it originally was, a lot of the mans is trying to jump ship, you feel me, and make the switch because the power is going back.
Back over you feel me? Women.
So it's nothing is happening by mistake. Everything is by design.
Yeah.
You feel me? And like I said, yes, you have it as far as with a lot of, with a lot of females too, you know, doing it. But it's
don't see a lot of women converting over and going and get surgery, like, and dissing, like how it level. Is on that level, because now I even seen the videos. It was a Jess Hilarious. Yep, said something about that, saying like, okay, like, don't call me, was it the cis women, like calling biological women, like a whole acronym, like, where I'm a woman, like, you don't come up with acronyms for me. I am a woman.
Right.
Now, whatever else you want to call somebody else that's genetically modified, you can go ahead and call them whatever.
Yeah.
But I am a woman. I'll be respected as such. Like, you know what I'm saying? For a trans, like I said, I'm with it too. Like, love who you want to love. Be with who you want to be with. As long as you're not bothering me or whatever, you ain't causing no harm to me, I don't care what you do. Do you, what makes you happy. And like you said, you need to have that reason. If somebody asks you.
But you got to know it's for you.
It's for you. Like, do you know it's for you? Did you feel that and did that? It wasn't programmed into you. You know what I mean?
And that's what
And they wouldn't even know that, because they would say, well, no, I've been like this. But what were you watching? Where were you around?
Yeah.
Who were you around? What were you around? What did you see? Like, everything plays a part into that. So you can't even be like, oh, well, this is just how I was. Okay, but yeah, you grew up looking at this, watching this. If I watch something about being a murderer all the time, if I'm around people are talking about killing all the time, I'm listening to rap music talking about killing things, going on to this, 9 times out of 10, like, I'm not going to be opposed to going to that lifestyle.
Facts, but also a heavy factor is that is the chemical compound, biologically. A lot of the food that a lot of people eat, especially a lot of fast food, is pumped with extra hormones right now.
Estrogen. And
a lot of estrogen. Mm-hmm. So you got a lot of the boys are eating it. And then it's actually something else that I seen, that it was actually in the water that they was talking about. It was something, it's a certain kind of pesticide that they use to clean. They put it in the tap water. And it's to clean the water, but apparently it is castrating men chemically. Feel me? So it is, they had an experiment where they showed male frogs being exposed to it for a certain amount of time, and some of the male frogs were starting to develop eggs. You feel me? Now, you got that being pumped psychologically, you feel me? The agenda is being pushed as far as, like, you know, by the male rappers or the male artists, you know, seeing them with purses, little pants, little girl chokers.
Even the rappers you never thought, like, it's real quick. Like, I remember seeing, like, just one example, YG back in the day. Like, YG, because I just seen a picture of him recently, and I'm just like, he had on these tight-ass pants, and like, something that he, that when he first came out, he wasn't wearing that.
Yeah.
Every, like, even, like, when Amigos first came out, it wasn't none of them tight pants and the little, the chokers and all that type of stuff. Are
they
doing what
they want to do because they want to do it, or because they label saying, hey, man, look, man, you want this sponsorship, we need you to play along.
Yeah.
And that's what they go into when they say selling your soul.
Yeah.
You giving up a piece of something you don't necessarily want to do.
Yeah.
You feel me? You know, you probably shouldn't be doing it, but it's like you'll do it for that check. You feel me? And you have it happening on so many different levels of that. That is what's influencing, you feel me? And then, so physically, it's happening. Psychologically, the appearance of, you know, the styles and the trends. Chemically, what's you putting in your body. Now, the radiation, turning it up. So it don't matter whatever is in your body, it's going to get turned up. Then the energy of the that divine feminine coming in, you feel me, of influencing. You feel me? So if you're not
strong in your manhood, you gonna get knocked off your rocker.
Man, you feel me? But it's real shit. Yeah, you feel me? And it's like being strong, it don't mean, you feel me, not necessarily like being out of touch with your emotions. You feel me? It don't mean you're not like not meaning like little stuff like not being able to cry, or you feel me, something like, oh, you gotta pay for everything, or you feel me, something like that. But you have to know your, if you were to strip away this world, you feel me, strip away the man-made world, beings, we were still here, you feel me, how is it operating in? It's danger, you feel me, the man's duty was to protect and provide, you feel me, you protecting, you building, you providing. The woman's duty was to nurture, you feel me, give life, that's what you're doing, you giving life, you nurturing that life you giving, you feel me. So if you was to take all of this away in this world, you feel me, this materialistic world, those principles would still be there. You feel me? Now you add the world and you apply those principles to this world, it's funny out here, because we are also, when it comes to relationships, the way that we operate is semi-false, and we come from, we operating off of a Eurocentric false Christianity. And when I say false Christianity, I mean because of the Crusades. Is it wasn't like niggas was just like, you know what, I'm gonna believe in Jesus today. That ain't what happened. It was a lot of killing, a lot of slaughtering, a lot of raping, a lot of shit that happened, and say, hey, you gonna do this. You feel me? And then here
that
we are.
That wasn't original belief.
You get what I'm saying? Now, it was that version of Christianity is not the original version, because the Ethiopic or Ethiopia has the original version. You feel me? Where it was no Jesus, straight Yahshua. You feel me?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I hear people talk even Yahshua.
It's the text is completely different. You feel me? So the thought process is completely different as far as when you're going through it. But with taking as far as how that belief system is for how we operated off of it now, we only operating off of a jaded point of view that's been presented mostly from the King James Version. So people are operating in that King James Version. The way a lot of relationships is, maybe shouldn't be. Like, for example, with how you were saying, like, a lot of females, and this is how we got to this topic, because a lot of females, is they are now acting out with the music, saying, fuck these niggas, you feel me, get this money, you feel me, and you feel me, like, fuck these niggas, you know, like, they ain't. But in defense of that, a lot of those out here, you feel me, ain't really coming to the table, you feel me, with intrinsic value. You feel me? Like, they don't have any value outside of, and that could be because of the programming and conditioning of the get money, get money, get money, get money. You feel me?
What else you got besides money?
What else are you got? You feel me? If money was to go away, everybody is focused
what
on money.
What value are you still bringing to the table besides
money? What skills
money?
Do you have?
And that's what women, too, we looking at them like, okay, they bringing money, money. If they ain't got money,
basically,
then that's it.
Right.
You
so
know what I'm saying?
They basically, and this is to sum up, you feel me, with the whole female rap, they took the hype that they had men on, you feel me, and said, you know what? Fuck them. Let's focus on the women. You feel me? So focusing on the women with the same thing, you feel me? Now you are having the same issues that the men had, you feel me? Because that that shit was psychologically fucked up for us. Like, mm-hmm. that shit did a lot of damage, you feel me? Like, as far as, like, niggas being, with trapping, you feel me, with being junkies, you feel me, even the value of life, you know? Like, if somebody is threatening you, you feel me, and they planning on taking your life, take their life, you feel me? I'm not going to think twice, you feel me, at all. But to take somebody's life because they stepped on your shoes or because they looked at you wrong, that's something different, you feel me? It's, and for it to be as consistent as it is now, and now they took the focus away from the men, and now you have women repeating the same thing again. Back in the day, we done went talked about so many female rappers, you feel me?
It's only in the black community. You don't have a really, other races and stuff like that, when they rap and talk about, I'm killing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. It's heavily more promoted in our community, I feel like, because that's what I see and that's what I know, but I would have to be and study around other cultures and stuff like that to see what they rap is like, because I don't listen to other cultures.
I got friends from a lot of different backgrounds, you feel mm-hmm. me? And I remember when I was working at Cherry Hill / John George, and I was with my Mexican partner all day, you feel me? And he was playing some shit, and I thought it was a straight love music. No, bro. It was Cartel cutting off heads, and you feel me, and all kinds of shit. And it was kind of violent, you know?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know that, you feel me, just by hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that it is influencing, you feel me? Because I know for a fact that it is.
Yeah.
As far as with the women, like, you didn't have too many women talking about robbing women, shooting women, or having abortions. You feel me?
Yeah.
So the topics and the lyrics now is a little bit more, you feel me, kind of out of pocket, but you also see it reflected. I ain't never used to hear about females getting robbed by other females or you feel me, getting shot.
Crazy.
I ain't never used to hear about that kind of stuff
like,
happening.
They want us to just kill each other off. Like, and it's a whole part of, like you said, a big spider web, the population control and everything like spider that. Okay, web. Well, let's, first of all, we're going to pass these abortion laws, right? And then we're going to get this female rap out here talking about fuck niggas, get money, I do, ooh, 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 I don't want this and that. Like, okay, where is this leading to?
Where is, so, question. It's hella.